T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Raiders were able to get a touchdown right before the half. Now it's Bengals 20, Raiders 13 at halftime. Opening game of wild card weekend. Patriots and Bills tonight. 3 games tomorrow. Eagles Bucks early. Niners Cowboys in the 3:30 window. And then Sunday night, Steelers in Kansas City. And then on Monday, Cards and Rams from L.A. Right now, they're in a lockout in MLB. We're hoping to get good news at some point in time. And, of course, you have the Timberwolves idle today. They get the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night. And you'll hear that game here on the home of the Timberwolves, News Talk, 830-WCCO. And our coverage begins at 6:30, tip just after 7 o'clock tonight. Once again, the Timberwolves take on the Warriors tomorrow night. I'll be on following the game with Timberwolves tonight, Sunday night edition, between 10 and 11 o'clock. And the Timberwolves need a W all of a sudden. They dropped a couple games on the road, getting beat by the Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans. That was a heartbreaker in New Orleans. The Wild got a big win. They beat the Ducks 7-3 last night. And the Wild are in a bit of a roll now. When they are able to play, they beat the Bruins. They lost Kirill Kaprizov that night. Then they found a way to beat the Washington Capitals in St. Paul without Kaprizov. They were very shorthanded. Won 2 points there in a shootout in that 3-2 victory. They had games at Winnipeg and Edmonton postponed. And then they come home and beat the Ducks 7-3 last night. They'll be on the road Colorado on Monday. So you're up to date on the local sports scene. We'll have a little bit more on the U and what's happening there a little bit later on in the hour. Right now we're going to talk to Do-Young Park. He covers the Twins for MLB.com. But as we mentioned, not a lot of news there right now. But Do made an appearance on Jeopardy in December. And maybe you heard about this or saw him on Jeopardy, and he's joining us now. No, good to visit with you, and it's a little late, but Happy New Year anyway.
Happy New Year to you too, Steve. It's been a while, and who would have thought that of all things that this is what I'd be on talking about today?
Oh, I know, and you're so good with your time in the lead-up to spring training, during spring training, in season. You will join us and talk all things Twins, but right now we're going to talk about you and an appearance on Jeopardy, and I've been trying and trying and trying, and you were traveling, and you were overseas, and now you're back home, and it's all worked out. This is so cool, and I just want to go back to the beginning. How did you get this opportunity? How does that work? Do you apply? Do you go online? How do you become a contestant on Jeopardy?
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Steve. I'll tell you one thing. So the process looks significantly different, I understand, now because of the pandemic than it did during normal pre-pandemic times. How it worked for me, at least, is there's an online test that's open to everybody. You can go onto the Jeopardy website yourself right now to even take the test if you so want. It used to be only once a year, like you had to take it on one of like 3 predetermined days, but now you can take it anytime. And if you get a qualifying score on that, you're entered into kind of a random drawing, is my understanding, to advance to the next stage. I was fortunate enough to get that call for the first time as part of this application process. They make you take another test to prove that, like, your score wasn't a fluke. You're, like, recorded on Zoom for that and everything to make sure you're not cheating. If you get a qualifying score on that, there's another, I think, random drawing where if they like you, you get pulled. They, like, do, like, a personality interview. You play, like, a mock game over Zoom, like, so that you can, like, they have you, like, pick out clues, answer questions, talk a little bit about yourself, see if you got interesting stories to tell on TV and whatnot. And then if they like you there, you get put in another pool, and if you're fortunate, you get called to be on the show, and I did, and I couldn't believe it when I got that call.
Well, how long did all of this take? It sounds like something that would take months.
It took, I think it was about a year and a half, actually.
Oh, wow.
From when I took the test for the first time to get through the process to actually airing on the show, because it was waits of several months. Between the first two tests, and then between the second test and the Zoom interview, and then another couple months before they gave me the call.
So you get the call, and then they say, all right, here's when we're going to tape, and you go to L.A.
Here's the funny thing. So the first funny thing is that I actually got the call. I'll always remember this. The call was July 23rd, because I got the call just as the Twins' press conference with Nelson Cruz after they traded him at the trade deadline and finished. So, like, we're finishing up with Nelson Cruz on Zoom, and I'm looking down at my phone, and there's this, like, unlisted number with, like, an L.A. area code, and I'm just like, oh, man, is this really what the... Because I've been, you know, it had been on my radar, and I was like, and I, like, mute myself on the Zoom, turn the camera off, I, like, leave the room, I go get it, that is what it is, and then, like, you're supposed to, like, keep it on the down low, right? But, like, I came back, and, like, everybody sees me, like, running out of this, like, Zoom room with Nelson Cruz and Derek Falvey, and they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, all right, guys, listen. But the other thing was they actually wanted me to originally tape in August, and I couldn't do that because I needed to work. I was going to be at Fenway Park at that time, so I asked them nicely if they could adjust for my work schedule, and they did. So I ended up actually taping in October.
So you get it worked out. You have it scheduled. I suppose, in addition to doing your job covering the Twins for MLB.com, you're studying like you're back at Stanford. I mean, you're probably reading and doing everything you can to get prepped to be on Jeopardy.
Here's a secret. I probably studied a lot. I probably put a lot more prep into that than I get into my classes in college, which is probably an indictment of my poor studentship back in the day. But, I was preparing like a madman. Honestly, I've been trying to get on the show for years now. I've been really into trivia for a long time, and I did Quiz Bowl when I was in high school. I would just watch Jeopardy like at the student newspaper during college with my editor friends. I'm active on the local bar trivia scene, you know, around the Twin Cities, that sort of thing. And you know, it's just a pipe dream of mine, especially since. I really, really wanted to share the stage with Alex Trebek. Unfortunately, that wasn't able to happen before he passed. But it's something that I've, you know, been actively working toward for a long time. And then once I got past that first stage and I was like, wow, this might actually be possible at some point. I might actually be good enough to do this. I understood, like, where my strengths were, where my weaknesses were. I made sure to reinforce my strengths, really pound my weaknesses, and just tried to get myself in better shape. Because I knew before spring training that I had advanced past the first round. So I was like, okay, if this is going to happen, I should start prepping. So, like, from spring training, I had, like, reference books. I was making flashcards. I was doing, like, Sporkle quizzes online, like, everywhere with me. Like, I was pretty much like a hermit this year because I was just, you know, going crazy all year just trying to patch up all my weaknesses in preparation for that one day. And it was good that I did because I ended up making it all the way through.
Yeah, so you get to L.A., and you tape. So I would assume they pick you up at LAX, you have a nice hotel near the studio, all of that. Is that how it panned out?
I took a cab from LAX to Culver City. And I paid for a hotel. They don't actually pay your costs. What they do is the idea is that the consolation prize is if you appear on the show, you are walking out of there with a minimum of $1,000. You can finish at minus -7,000, and you still get a third place consolation prize of $1,000. So the idea is that kind of helps offset the cost of appearing on the show.
So did you go in a day early? Was it 2 days early? How did all of that work?
The funny thing is, I was actually it was great that happened to be the Monday that I taped. It was a Monday because I was already going to be in California that weekend anyway for a friend's wedding. And so after the wedding, I had to get to LA a day early because they make you get there a day early to do your intake COVID testing to make sure you're negative and to make sure you've got all of, like, the necessary documents and everything like that, and just to give yourself a little breathing room. So I get to LA a day early, sequester in the hotel, test, and then the next day it's a 7:30 a.m. call time for the taping.
Wow. How did you sleep the night before?
Really well. Really well, actually. I didn't know how I was going to handle that because I'm notorious as an overthinker, over prepper, whatnot. But I was actually honestly pretty at peace the night before, I got to say. I was like ironing all the clothes that I had to get ready because they ask you to bring like 4 or 5 changes of clothes in case you have to go. So for those that don't know, they tape 5 episodes in a day. So it's not like they tape 1 episode a day and you got to keep going back every day to tape if you keep winning. They have like 2 days a week where they tape 5 episodes each day. So they knock out 2 weeks worth of episodes in those 2 days. And then like the rest of the time is spent like writing questions and like getting contestants onto the show and that sort of thing. And so the night before I was like getting all of my outfits ready just in case I didn't think I was going to need them. But, I was worried that I was going to like feel the need to cram or everything and just like go crazy studying overnight. But at that point I was actually pretty at peace. I was like, you know, I've prepped hard for this for almost a year now. You know, I got to be confident in myself. I'm not going to add much that I haven't already learned in these last 12 hours. It's just imperative I get a good night's sleep and enter the taping in the best mental state possible.
So you get to the studio and there's the check-in and all of that. And then how does all of that work? If they're taping 5 episodes, were you right out of the gate in that first episode to be taped that day, or did you have to wait for your turn?
No, I was on the first episode. So you'll notice that I aired on a Monday. My air date was Monday, December 20th. And so they tape Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in order that day. So I was on the first show, but it's not right out the gate. So they bring everybody together in the green room. So they normally have a green room where they, like, sequester the contestants, like, between and before the shows and, like, talk to you and all that. But because of COVID, it's, like, a tight space. So they can't use the normal green room. So our green room was actually the Wheel of Fortune set, which was really cool. Like, we were sitting, like, where the studio audience normally sits in, like, the Wheel of Fortune stage where they actually film Wheel of Fortune next door to Jeopardy. And it was crazy because there's a lot of action going on because at the time, they were, like, taping. I aired the week of Christmas, and so they were getting the Wheel of Fortune set ready for the Christmas holiday-themed tapings as well. So, like, there were trees going up, nailing little candy canes, like, getting fake snow all around the Wheel of Fortune stage. I'll never forget this. Like, they use, like, the little space around the wheel as the little makeup booths where they, like, make you up and touch you up before you go on the show.
Wow.
And they covered the wheel up with this big tarp, huge sign that says do not touch the wheel, and I really wanted to touch the wheel. But they get you there they give you like a hour and a half long orientation. They literally go through like every single rule you could possibly know. You know, they've been doing this for like 3 decades now, so like every question that could possibly come up, they've got it covered in this like orientation of like, here's how you hold the buzzer, here's how the buzzer timing works, here's how, like, this commercial break will work. We want you to clap coming in from this commercial break, but not this commercial break. Here's how you should answer the question. Here's how you should call out the clues. Don't wager dumb, inappropriate numbers on the clues. Don't do that sort of thing, blah, blah, blah. And after that, they take you over to the Jeopardy set. Everybody plays 2 practice rounds in groups of 3 so that you can feel the buzzer. And then it's around, you get there around 7:30, and then maybe around, like, 10 o'clock is when the first episode starts to tape. They called my name for that first episode, and I barely had time to react before we were whisked off to finish up our makeup and go tape.
Wow. My heart is beating like a rabbit listening to this. How did you feel through all of this? It's like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm going to be on Jeopardy.
Yes. And here's the nice thing about being a baseball reporter in this. The thing is, like, I feel like the preparation, everything like that, is, you know, it's kind of universal to everybody. Like, you got to have a knowledge base. Like, you know what you need to know. Like, if you end up on the show, you've been a pretty big fan of the show. So you have a sense of what to expect for the game itself. But what you can't figure out is, like, when you're actually in that chair, when you're behind the podium, when you're actually calling out the clues, Ken Jennings is in your face, like, how you're going to emotionally react to that. And I think one advantage of that is, like, over the years, I've talked to athletes about, like, the mental side of the game and, like, how they prep for, like, standing on the mound, like, what sorts of breathing exercises they do to calm themselves down, that sort of thing. So I have, like, a pretty good, like, I had a set of breathing exercises I was going to do to make sure I was staying grounded the whole time. And honestly, just going in, I just was like, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. I'm going to enjoy this. And however it turns out, it turns out. Like, I've been like that back into my college days, too, where I'd have big tests coming up. And I'd do a pretty good job of not freaking out about it on the day of. But here's what you do freak out about is, so Jeopardy watchers know that, like, this has been the season of Ultra Champions. And when I was taping, there was an Ultra Champion on the show. His name was Matt Amodio. He ended up winning 38 games, and at the time I taped, because the episodes air about a month to 2 months after they tape, Matt Amodio's loss had not aired. And I did the math, and I was like, I knew going in, like, if I get there and Matt Amodio is still there, he will have won, like, 82 games. He'd be, like, the all-time winningest player ever at that point. And so I was, like, at least mentally ready for that. I get there, and thank God Matt Amodio's not there. I'm like, okay, I got a chance. And then at the end of orientation, they tell you, okay, who is the returning champion? How many games have you won? What is the dollar amount that you have won? And there's this, like, quiet woman sitting next to me at orientation. I knew that something was up because all the rest of us was looking around. We're talking. We're talking. And she walks down quiet to me or takes out of once during orientation. I'm like, oh no, she knows what she's doing. And it turns out she's the returning champion. And they're like, how many games have you won? It's 13. How much money have you won? $530-something thousand. Oh. And I'm like, ah, geez, here we go again. So that's what freaks you out.
Yeah, and who is that woman's name?
That is Amy Schneider, and she is still on the show. She has now won 33 games, and she's still going strong.
Well, and so you get to the moment where you start taping. Is it like, you know, all of us imagine where it's kind of like they count it down and boom, you're on the air. And you've been around radio and television because you're at the ballpark all the time. So you get that part of it when the game's on the air, when Dick Bramer goes on the air or Corey Provis and Dan Gladden, you understand all that. You've joined me at the ballpark a number of times. You get all of that, so you're comfortable being on mic. But here you are on Jeopardy. Are the lights as bright as they seem to be? I mean, what's that experience like?
Yes, they are. And they're even brighter than that. And so, here's the thing. I do on air, like you said, I do radio, and I do radio hits with you and with your colleagues all the time.
Sure.
I do TV hits on MLB Network. I do on-location segments for them. This was a different animal, man. It was, it's different from being in front of a camera holding a mic versus being on a soundstage with bright lights on you, with, like, spotlights on you. There's a camera following you around. Like, there's a camera following your face around. You're at a podium. You're on this big stage in front of a studio audience that's, like, dark. That was crazy. And the thing is, like, they play the theme music. They dim the lights. And, again, that's one of those things where you don't know how you're going to react when you get on that stage. But I'll tell you, they got us on the stage. We're all standing there. We're getting ready. We write our names down. Ken Jennings comes out and says hi before we start taping. And they turn the lights down, and the music starts playing, and I didn't know how I was going to feel in that moment. I played that moment through in my head so many times. I didn't know what it was going to be like. Let me tell you, Steve, hearing that theme music, hearing This Is Jeopardy announced, hearing my name announced, staring into the camera for that, I was worried I was going to be terrified. But all the fears just melted away as soon as the music started playing. I felt just so at ease. I felt so calm. And I was like, this is what I prepped for. This is what I've been building up my life for. I've been dreaming about this moment. I'm going to enjoy this. And I was fortunate to say I did. And as for the actual stage itself, it's funny because it both feels smaller and bigger than you would expect. When you're in the audience, you're surprised by how small and compact everything seems, from the podiums on your right side to the big clue board on your left side. But when you're actually standing at the podium, it's remarkable how enormous that board of clues is in front of you. It's actually crazy where it fills up your field of vision, and the clue doesn't blow up in your face as it does to fill up the screen when you're watching on TV. It only occupies the one little space it takes up on the scoreboard, and I still didn't have trouble seeing it. That's how big it is standing across the stage from it.
Wow. Do Young Park joining us, covers the Twins for MLB.com, appeared on Jeopardy in December, and did an amazing job. Amy Schneider is still a champion. About the game itself, I know from doing radio how quickly segments and hours tick by. This is a 30-minute game show with spot breaks. It's about 20 minutes or so. So it must have flown by.
It absolutely flies by. And let me tell you, I blacked out when I was on that stage. I had read a lot of different testimonials from different contestants that had gone on. I'm an over-prepper. So I, like, for example, I read, there's a book out there called Secrets of the Buzzer. That's like a book literally just about the Jeopardy buzzer and how to master it. I read that thing cover to cover 3 times. So of course I like went in and like read every single contestant testimonial I could get my hands on to at least mentally prepare myself the best I could. A lot of people will be like, it flies by, you will black out, you will have no idea what happened in your game. That's exactly what happened for me. I remember here and there. I remembered Amy running the first category as soon as we started. I remember thinking that was the most absurd thing ever. I remembered one or two different clues I got right. I remember that there's a baseball clue. I remember that I got a daily double. Beyond that, I have absolutely no idea what happened. It taped more or less in real time, and I just went into autopilot, you know? At a certain point, you put so much energy into timing the buzzer and thinking about the responses you're going to give to each clue that you don't really have time to process the flow of time. It was crazy in that sense. And so the 2 months, because I taped on October 12th and I aired on December 20th, that was pure torture of what had happened, but because I was so intensely curious about what exactly had happened in the game, because I knew that I got a daily double in there somewhere, I knew what the final scores were like, I had absolutely no clue what happened anywhere in between. And I had, like, friends who were watching the show earlier than I did texting me, like, oh my god, I can't believe you answered bad teacher, or I can't believe, like, you got this clue about, like, Goldwire, and I'm like, those were clues in my game? I had no idea. It was truly one of those things.
Well, I thought you did an awesome job, and it's been great to talk to you. And our 20 minutes have flown by, kind of like Jeopardy. I didn't black out once. I enjoyed every minute of this story. It's just phenomenal. Though, thank you so much for sharing this. And like I say, I thought you did an awesome job. And does it help that Amy Schneider's still on the show?
Absolutely. I appreciate you saying that, first of all, Steve. I was, you know, I really went in wanting to win. You know, I mean, obviously you go in wanting to win. But I truly think if I'm not going to win, the next best thing is to lose to not just an all-time great, but an all-time great who is just, you know, as put together, knowledgeable, like, and just, like, you know, like, humble and funny as Amy Schneider is. I think she's been such a phenomenal representative for the Jeopardy brand and for, you know, what all of us contestants hope to be when we get on the show. Of course, all of us dream of going on a run like this, but to have somebody of Amy's caliber, of Amy's humility, of her humor going on a run like this, I think it's just absolutely spectacular, and it really does ease the sting of a loss, I'll say, to see her going on this run and breaking all these records.
Well, Joe, good to visit with you. It's always great to talk. What a story. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate the chance to share, and I'll talk to you soon. I appreciate this.
All right, there he is, Do Young Park. Great guy, covers the Twins for MLB.com. That was fun. We've got to get to a break. We'll get you up to date on the weather. And still to come, we'll talk a little hockey. Chris Peters, we'll break down the Olympic team. And then high school sports, Ken Hamry from St. Michael Albertville, the girls' basketball team at St. Michael Albertville, having a great year. They are a definite state tournament threat and certainly could be in the mix for a state title. We'll get into all of that coming up on News Talk, E3O WCCO. Sports Saturday rolling along. Wild Idol, they got a big win over the Ducks, 7-3. Timberwolves Idol, they get to Golden State Warriors tomorrow night. Pregame is 6:30, tip 7 o'clock. I'll be in with Timberwolves tonight on a Sunday night following the game between 10 and 11 here on News Talk, E3O WCCO. Really look forward to that. Right now, Chris Peters covers hockey. And, Chris, always good to visit with you. Covered hockey for a long time and a lot of platforms over the years. And we're talking Olympic hockey right now. And one other story. The Golden Gophers abruptly lost a goaltender to the Carolina Hurricanes. Did that surprise you that they were able to grab Jack LaFontaine right in season like that and sign him?
Well, Steve, good to be with you again. But yeah, it was a big surprise, and I think that, you know, it's pretty rare to see it happen. It's actually happened to Minnesota before. I think back to when Kyle Okposo abruptly left Minnesota. But this is a lot different of a situation. Essentially, Carolina was in a bind. They had most of their goalies that were eligible to be called up were injured or in protocols, and they were basically down to their regular starter, Frederick Anderson, nobody else. And so it really was kind of a desperation play. You know, teams still have roster limits and everything else. And, you know, with you can only have 50 signed NHL contracts in a given year. And so you're not going to want to just hand that out to anybody. So obviously, you know, Jack LaFontaine, the way he's played the last few years, he's played his way into, you know, he was drafted, of course, but still you have to earn that contract. And I would say that, you know, winning the Mike Richter Award last year and how he's played has made him a much more valuable commodity. So it basically, they said, you know, hey, we need to get you in here. And I think the guarantee of NHL games, and he played, you know, the first game he was backing up Anderson and ended up coming in and, you know, had to make his debut kind of unexpectedly in the third period there as Carolina was getting lit up a little bit. But, you know, I think that they essentially said, hey, you're going to be in the NHL this week. And I think that's when you hear that your dream is that close that you can touch it and taste it, it's hard to turn down, even given the circumstances. But now it puts the Gophers in a huge bind. Justin Close is going to have to be the starter the rest of the way here. And, you know, before Jack left, LaFontaine had started 58 of the previous 60 games. So it's pretty much a huge hit to you know, the Gophers in terms of their national title hopes and Big Ten championship hopes. But now it's an opportunity for Justin Close to step up and maybe be the hero here.
Man, got a win 4-1 over Alaska. Same two teams tonight at 3M Arena at Mariucci. One of the other things we wanted to bring up, Chris, with you, and you follow this very closely, when the NHL started having COVID problems and then elected not to send players to Beijing and the Winter Olympic Games, Team USA had to find players, and they've put together a team. We want to get your read on that and what that club's going to look like in Beijing.
Yeah, well, you know, Steve, again, this is another kind of unfortunate circumstance where you have to make the best of a bad situation. And, you know, as far as USA Hockey is concerned, they feel pretty strongly about the youth of their system. So they went very heavily with college players. 25-player roster, 15 of the players named are current college players. One is a recent, you know, college player currently playing in Europe, and then the rest are, you know, European pros with NHL experience for the most part, and a few guys from the American Hockey League as well. So it's really a unique lineup. There are going to be, you know, a number of Minnesota Golden Gophers, Ben Myers, Brock Faber, and Matthew Nyes, who will be one of the two youngest players on Team USA at this tournament, one of the youngest to ever represent the U.S. at the Olympics. But by going with the college players, the U.S. is kind of learning some of the lessons from 2018 when they went and there were no NHL players there. They brought a roster that only had four college players on it. But it turned out that two of their college players were their best players, and Ryan Donato and Troy Terry, who are now currently in the NHL, and Jordan Greenway, who now plays for the Wild, was also on that team. So, you know, that was instructive to them to say, hey, we can lean on these young guys. They can do a lot more for us. And they're a little bit closer to their primes, their pro primes. They might not be NHL ready yet, but a lot of them are going to be playing in the NHL, some of them as soon as this season, after their college seasons are over. So a very heavy college lineup. And if you're not going to have the NHL players, that suddenly makes Team USA a lot more compelling. I want to see what these young guys can do.
Yeah, and it does stand out. And, of course, anybody old enough to remember the Miracle on Ice, it was all college kids back in the day. And before the Olympics, got blown out by the Mighty Russian team and then were able to pull the upset and the Miracle on Ice and then ultimately go on to win the gold medal. So it kind of takes you back. And honestly, when it comes to the Olympics, I know the Dream Team was fun, and to see Kevin Durant and all the NBA superstars play in the Olympics. But on the other hand, has that gotten old? And would I rather see the kids represent their country and go see what they can do?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that it's kind of, we lose the measuring stick element. I think that's something that the Olympics have been over the 4 years. You say, okay, well, how is everybody stacking up against Canada? You know, Canada has continued to prove that they're the top dogs, and they've won the gold medals in the more recent best-on-best tournaments in 2010 and in 2014. But what this does is it really allows each country to showcase the depth of talent that they have. And I think especially for the U.S. and saying, we want to give, we're turning this team over to our young players. And for our, you know, they specifically reference that the NHL, you look at how much of an impact young players are making on their respective teams right now. Obviously you see it with the Wild, with Kaprizov, who's, you know, a little bit different because he's older and he had more pro experience. But then you look at the Anaheim Ducks and Trevor Zegras, or the Detroit Red Wings with Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond. And these guys are not just good players. They're stars on their current teams. And I think that that's what they view this team could be. You've got Jake Sanderson, who's a number 5 pick, currently plays at the University of North Dakota. You got Matty Beniers, who plays at Michigan, was the number 2 pick in the last draft. I mean, these are high-profile prospects that are expected to have long NHL careers, and some of them will start as soon as this season. So I think that that's what really makes it fascinating. Now, the question is, will experience win out, or does this youthful exuberance and also the speed of this U.S. team? I think it's going to be a very fast team. They're going to be exciting to watch. I mean, I really do think that this has really changed my mind in terms of being super disappointed that the NHL players weren't going to be there. And as somebody that follows prospects in college hockey as closely as I do, I mean, in some ways it's more fascinating. I would certainly prefer the best on best, because I'm really sad that we don't get to see Connor McDavid versus Austin Matthews, which we were guaranteed to get in this tournament because USA plays Canada in the preliminary round. But beyond that, you know, I think that what we've got is going to be a pretty nice backup plan, and it should be fun, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Chris, it's always good to visit with you. How do people find your work these days?
Yeah, well, I'm at dailyfaceoff.com and also on my own Substack site, which is Hockey Sense, and that's hockeysense.substack.com, and also my podcast, Talking Hockey Sense, available wherever you can download podcasts.
Yeah, we always appreciate your insight and the time. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Chris Peters, covered hockey for a long time. Look at the men's Olympic team and the sudden departure of Gopher goalie Jack LaFontaine with the Carolina Hurricanes. And, of course, the women's team, a lot of familiar names on that team. Hannah Brand, who played at Hill Murray. Danny Cameronisi with Olympic experience. Amanda Kensel played at the U. Kelly Panic. And, of course, Maddie Rooney from Andover. Elise Steckelin. And then, of course, among the first-time Olympians, Grace Zumwinkel. So a lot of good stuff. By the way, the Golden Gopher women's hockey team playing as we speak right now over at the University of Minnesota. They are in action after taking care of business against St. Thomas. Right now, they're looking for a sweep of Minnesota State. 13 minutes now in front of 6. High school hoops in the spotlight Ken Hamery from St. Michael Albertville girls basketball joins us in a moment. It's been a lot of fun today on the program. Big thanks to all our guests. Carrie Klatt, our producer, Mark Fry in the newsroom. And right now we're going to talk high school girls basketball. Ken Hamery joins us, St. Michael Albertville. And Ken, congrats on a great season so far.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, number one, let's talk about that conference. Wow. The Lake Conference is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is a brutal conference, and you know what? It's a good fit for us as well. I mean, from top to bottom, you know, with Eden Prairie, Diana Hopkins, Wayzata, Minnetonka, and Buffalo, I mean, there's just, you know, every night you're going to be in for a battle, and there's no night off in the Lake Conference. And, you know, honestly, it's made us better. It's made us better as players. It's made us better as coaches because you have to work so hard to prepare and get ready for that type of competition night in and night out.
Yeah, big win over Wayzata. You were down at the half, come back, beat the Trojans on Friday night. And that has to be a confidence builder considering the games you have looming between now and the end of the regular season.
Right. And you know, Wayzata's a great team, of like a lot of Lake teams. You know what? And we've kind of had a little bit of a run where we haven't had a lot of close games lately until that Wayzata game. And it was not a real pretty game, but you know what? Sometimes you need grinded out wins too. You know, our last real close game was back on December 21st versus Maple Grove, a 10-point game there. So it was good for us as coaches. It was good for our kids to be, you know, be in a tight game like that. And I know over at Wayzata, they probably are thinking the same thing. Boy, it wasn't real pretty. I know we can play better next time.
Yeah, ranked number 6 in the latest poll. You beat number 5 Wayzata. Probably move up. And of course, right at the top, Hopkins number 1, Minnetonka. Number 2 in the latest poll, another one coming out next week. More about your team. Who really makes a go for your team, Kent?
Well, you know, everybody hears about Tessa Johnson, and you should. You know, she was out all last year with a broken leg. But, you know, we have one in the roster, and that's Emma Miller. And, you know, Emma's, you know, she's hit that point where she's got, I like to call it senioritis, where she's really getting the team involved. She's coming to practice and she's holding other players accountable, and the leadership between Emma and Tessa and another captain, Piper Carlson, it's everybody's buying in. And it's, I would say, you know, Emma and Tessa, everybody says Emma Tessa, but there's so many kids that are, you know, the old cliche, the lunch bucket kids. You know, I got a couple Hazleton sisters that they come in each day. They're, you know, they don't put a lot of numbers. Kylie Diaz, you know, and Ja'Kayla Kraft, a lot of kids that play their role, play it well. You know, we have a theme this year. It's called Play for Each Other, and these girls are really bought into it. It's been a lot of fun this year so far. You know, and there's, you know, to mention them all would be impossible, but even our practices, it's a great practice, and it's a great bunch of kids, which makes it so much fun.
Well, and it's got to make it a joy to go into the gym for practice every day and show up on game night. And I know St. Michael Albertville supports all their teams so well.
You know what, we do. I mean, you know, you come out here, and we do have a lot of great student athletes here. And, you know, I love the fall going to watching our football team, our volleyball team, our soccer teams. All of them have success year in and year out. So, you know, you're counted on to have success. And there's self-pressure we put on ourselves out on here in St. Michael Albert. But we hold ourselves to a high standard, and, you know, we like that.
Well, Kent, we're tight on time. We've got the news coming up at 6. Good to visit with you. Continued success at St. Michael Albertville.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on today. So I really appreciate it. And, hey, go Knights.
All right. Thank you, Ken Hamery. St. Michael Albertville girls basketball, number 6. They beat number 5, Wayzata. They're going to move up, and they are going to be a factor as we get toward the end of the season, come section playoffs. Big thanks to all our guests. Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart, Eric Osleson, Metro Manager for K&S Heating, Phil Miller covers the Twins for the Star Tribune, Josh Peltier, East Ridge Boys Basketball Coach, Steve Carney took us outdoors, Emily Osterkirch, the Head Coach at Rogers Girls Hockey, Chris Thomason covers the Vikings for the Pioneer Press, Do Young Park, who covers the Twins for MLB.com, he was on Jeopardy, what a story. Ken Hamery, St. Michael Albertville, Chris Peters covers hockey. We talked Olympic hockey. We got to run. Big thanks to Carrie Klatt, our producer. Big thanks to you for tuning in. I'm Steve Thompson. Have a great Saturday night.
times in my life when I was going insane, trying to walk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.